reach Bill Martinez live.
I love the East. I love the West. North and South, they're both the best. But I only love going there as a guest. And I love being here with you. I love the sea. I love the shore. I love the rocks and what is more. With you, baby, never be a bore. Because I love being here with you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, live 9 to noon Eastern time. And it'd be 9 to noon. Did I say 9 to noon? Exactly. 6 to 9 Pacific. Good to have you along with us. This is Bill Martinez coming at you. We've got Sargis Sangari with us. Always good to be talking with Sargis. Sargis is a retired U.S. Army lieutenant colonel. And, of course, you just had a big anniversary, didn't you? The Army just celebrated their big anniversary here this week.
We did, Bill, we did. You know, a lot of sacrifice, I think, a lot of hard work. So hopefully we can keep the nation safe for another 100 years.
Exactly. Well, we, you know, it's up to we the people, and we got to keep the pressure on, even though there's been a lot, as you're very well aware, Sargis, that, you know, our military is at record lows, probably not since before World War II. And we need to, you know, be serious about this. I think, you know, what was debated on the Senate floor here the other day, I believe it was, it was John McCain who said, look at, you know, if you're not going to pass these bills to support the military, then don't go around and say that you're a friend of the military, right?
Bill, that's correct. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of individuals don't understand how the multi-budget works. We're very much of a targeted nation. You know, this whole Iranian issue that we had talked about and why we shouldn't allow Iran to get their hands on a nuclear weapon. Right now, if you explode a nuclear weapon 300 miles above the United States, and there's a possibility, there's delivery methods that allow that to happen, especially with North Korea sending their satellite over us during the Super Bowl, you can literally fry everything that has a chip in it. That being the case, since we don't manufacture anything, currently, if you take a look at it, for us just to replace one transformer in this country, it takes us 18 months to get it shipped out from China. Imagine if you have four or five of those burned out. It would take us approximately 2 years to go back to where we were on the baseline if that ever happened. So this country is vulnerable. And if you reduce its military in those 2 years, if something like that happens, then it's possible that it could be invaded. And if anybody thinks that that's not a possibility, then you have to really think about whether or not you understand security across the globe.
Exactly. And when you think that, you know, the president's job one is to protect and support national security, that's his number one function. And he's been doing just the opposite. I mean, it's quite revealing here, Sargis, that, you know, Democrats always want to cut back on military. I mean, you know, Bill Clinton did it. And, you know, we look back on those, you know, supposed glory days and say, oh, the economy was doing so great and we had all this positive cash flow coming out of the government and everything. But at what expense? Because then, you know, a couple of years later, out of office, we get attacked and we're sending our men and women, overseas to go fight a war under-equipped. And are we setting ourselves up for this one more time?
It's not just that. They don't just cut it, but they also share the technology. When Bill Clinton was in office, I was still serving. That was the first time that the Chinese were able to develop the capability of conducting airfield seizures, same type of operations that our U.S. Rangers do. Why? Because we loaded up both full of technology under Bill Clinton and we sent it out to China. So literally, our politicians don't just cut the military, they share our equipment with our enemies, and then they wonder why we're in the position that we are today.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point of all that? I mean, what was the victory, you know, for the country to share, you know, that proprietary information with the Chinese? Who won out of that deal?
They live in a world that they think that our enemies are going to be able to convert their mindset and become our friends if we share these type of technologies with them. The reality is that your enemy is your enemy. Eventually, you may have to one day go down there and you have to shoot these individuals.
Yes.
That's just the way you need to think about it, but they don't.
Well, I don't even think it's even, I mean, you put it very nicely that somehow in their mind they think they're going to make friends out of these people. I think there's something more diabolical in that. I think there's some quid pro quo. There's something going on that says, and it's no surprise with all that we've been hearing, you know, about the Clintons, that they have leveraged their position in office in order to ingratiate themselves and to come away with more money. And if you think not, we've got a movie on the heels of last year's revelation in Peter Schweitzer's book called Clinton Cash. That movie's going to be coming out next month that I think is going to really rock people's world. I say that. I thought 13 Hours with Benghazi was going to do that, but it kind of, you know, came and went by the wayside. I don't know if our country is just not prepared. And, you know, like Jack Nicholson said in that movie, you can't handle the truth. Maybe our country is just at that point, Sergeant, where it just cannot handle the truth.
They're trying to avoid the truth and be honest, Bill. They come from a different mental mind map. I grew up in Iran. I saw the revolution. I saw what it did to people. We did go times hungry, so we understand what hunger feels like. When you grow up in a society where you haven't really felt that hunger, you haven't seen the devastation, the reality is that some of these politicians will never get it unless you put them in a position where either their friends are getting killed, like my friends were in the army, they're being burned, like my friends were burned in the army, for them to get a taste and a reality of what the enemy is and who he is. Unfortunately, our individuals that we have that are chosen leaders and the public that elects them really have not faced the realities of war. And it's very cruel, it's really ugly, and it does devastate families. And this war, whether they like it or not, the enemy has chosen to bring it to you.
Yes.
And he will kill more than 50 individuals out of Orlando. Until our people wake up, and unfortunately I've seen in the societies before, Bill, our societies never wake up to it unless it's personal to them.
So exactly.
They literally have to kill somebody in their family to make it personal for them to figure it out.
Well, Sergeant, you're right that it's time to kick Erdogan's Turkey out of NATO. A quote here says, once ISIS falls, more documents will be revealed detailing the relationship between ISIS and Turkey, no different than what was revealed with the death of Abu Sayyaf, where it was revealed that Turkey was buying stolen oil from ISIS for $1 a barrel, in turn selling it to Europe for $20 a barrel. You know, what is happening here?
Well, same thing we just discussed earlier in our conversation. The reality is that politicians are driven by greed and money.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in this case, Europe was getting bang for its buck, cheap oil, so they could care less. And then what happened, once we started taking out some of the targeted support that Erdogan was getting as far as these financial dealings were concerned, suddenly Erdogan decided to open up the borders and allow the refugees to flood Europe. And finally, it took a long time for Germany to realize that they're literally being invaded by these ISIS operatives. That's the reason, and the only reason, it recently came out of the German parliament and recognized the Armenian genocide of 1915, not because they cared about Armenians. They did it in order to show Erdogan that he should not belong to the EU. At the same time, unfortunately, Erdogan was here on July 9th trying to attend the Muhammad Ali's funeral. When he came in here, his intent was that he was going to lead the procession. He was going to put the cloth over the casket of Muhammad Ali, and that his imam was going to open up the prayer. It took Muhammad Ali's family to say no to him. He was so angered that he went back that same day. Imagine that they were able to make a stronger stand than even our political leaders are, because I cannot believe, or I probably will not be able to imagine, that our president would have told Erdogan the same thing that Muhammad Ali's family told him, which is no.
Interesting, without a doubt. Sergeant Sangari has been with us. Sergeant, real quick, I want to give you an opportunity to direct our people to help you out and with your fundraising. Tell them where they can go for more information.
Well, they could go to UnitedAustrianAppeal.org. It's better for us to receive checks. PayPal has been a really bad partner for us. We're looking at changing it recently, but that's the best way to help. And then they could go to the Near East Center.